Good morning. If you are a visitor here to worship, you have really seized a great opportunity for a wonderful worship opportunity, because today will be the annual Easter cantata. It will be done this morning, and we really pray you all get a great blessing. It's been a blessing. The journey has with Professor here, with Keith, our choir director, with Linda Holden on the organ. Sharing from Dick Miller and Warren Reed. It's going to be really, really special. So like I say, you've got a wonderful day in the Lord. We rejoice to have you here. Now then, are there any parish notices to come before us before we begin our morning worship?
I'd just like to announce one more time that next Sunday we'll be leaving about 10 o'clock to go serve the noon meal at the Fort Wayne Rescue Mission. So if you haven't done that before and you would like to go, we'd love to have you. It's a very fulfilling experience, and it helps a lot of people. So you don't have to tell me today, but just wear comfortable clothes next week, and because you'll be on your feet for about 5 hours. So just let me know, and we'd be glad to have anybody that wants to go. Thank you.
Thank you, John Hall. Wonderful, wonderful opportunity to serve. Yes, Megan?
The fundraiser will be meeting tonight. If you haven't said if you're coming or not, like, just come. It's at Brent Allison Campus House. There's plenty of food. So if you're new and you want to see what it's all about, feel free to join the Oakmeat Church if you don't know where they live.
Excellent, Megan. Excellent. Great opportunity for the 20-30-somethings. Any more sharings this morning? Yes, sir, Brad. I want to tell you, that's as welcome as seeing all the seed packages in the stores.
Everybody's interested in seeing me after church.
Brad, just great. You hear that? Spring is sprung. Any other shares? Oh, a special thanks to Brad Hughes for running the sound during the rehearsals and this morning as well. Thank you, Brad. Thank you. Yes, sir. Any other sharings this morning? Then let's and no choir practice this Wednesday night. Oh, and don't forget, though, Thursday evening at 7 p.m. will be the Maundy Thursday Communion, followed by an inspirational film, a brief video, and then after that we return home. And, of course, on Friday we return here at 1 in the afternoon. Reverend Bud Walls will be the preacher for the community Good Friday service this Friday, 1 p.m. here, hosted by the Convoy United Methodist Church. And then, of course, the Sunrise Easter service at 7 in the morning next week, with breakfast to follow, and the combined worship campuses combined for the 9:30 Easter celebration. Let's prepare our hearts now for morning worship. Thank you. Let us pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, humbling yourself in the back of a colt, you entered Jerusalem in lowly estate, bringing joy to the hearts of children. Forsaking equality with God, you emptied yourself of prestige and power, coming as a servant to all. Sing in our hearts once more, that we may remember the joy of dancing and singing our hosannas like the children of Jerusalem. For to such as these belong the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Give thanks to the Holy One, for God is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
With hosannas and praise, we greet the one who comes.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Most High.
This is the day that God has made.
Let us be glad and rejoice in it.
Now lift up your voices, your hearts to the Lord in praise. 278, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Take this opportunity to welcome your neighbors to the passing of the peace.
Thank you.
just a message to our children. We will suspend the children's message. We will have it next week. We won't have it this week, but we will have it next week. And I do want to get out a special alert to the kids that, Lord, I got something special for them next week. So, I mean, I'm a child at heart. I think you all know that. So I definitely am looking forward to next week, Easter, and celebrating with the children. So a very special children's sermon for next week. This morning, I've got Drina right here going to carry the microphone for us. If you're a visitor, as already stated, what a Sunday to be here. This is the annual cantata. We're so excited to have you. If you wish, there are visitors cards there. You could take a moment to fill that out. And when the ushers come through in just a moment here for the morning offering, you could just drop that visitor's card in the plate. My ushers are the best of any church. I'm going to brag on them, but they are just wonderful hosts and hostesses. They will make sure that that you get the best of hospitality. And part of that hospitality is they get those cards to me so that I can get a call back to you and see if you have any questions, get you better acquainted with this church family. Now, by way of getting acquainted, this is the Joys and Concerns. Drema is here beside me with the microphone. If you have a joy, like, for example, it could be a birthday, a wedding anniversary, it could be a testimony of how the risen Christ is giving you strength in your journey. You want to lift up that testimony, right now is the time to do it. You'll raise your hand for these joys. Also concerns, maybe there's a loved one that's sick, and you want to lift them up in prayer. Likewise, raise your hand for joys or concerns, and Drema will bring you the microphone so that we can all hear your sharing here in the house this morning. Joys and concerns, please raise your hand, keep them up, raise your hands and keep them up high. How you doing? How are you?
I just have a quick announcement. The dinner theater will be April 7th at 6:30. All youth group members will have tickets after today, so if you want tickets, see youth group members or Jean or Megan call.
You know, there's just something special, Taylor, about announcing the second annual dinner theater. How about that? Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord.
Yes, it's my honor to announce that this Friday, the 29th, is Warren and Marilyn Reed's 60th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Wonderful. Wonderful. That is fantastic. God bless you, Marilyn. God bless you, Warren.
I just wanted to thank everybody for the thoughts and prayers. I'm out of the hospital and on the end, so I appreciate it.
Tracy, so good to have you back. Praise the Lord. Raise a cheer. Good to have you back. Continued health.
I just wanted to let people know that my mom is doing pretty well. She may come home tonight. I don't know with the snow. They said that's kind of an outside chance, but she's out of ICU as of yesterday, so she's doing pretty good.
Thank you, Jeannie. And Jeannie, can you get your mommy's address, mailing address for us? So because I know, man, you've got so many friends here who want to send mother a card. Thanks, Jeannie. Any other shares, joys or concerns, just raise your hand. Drema will bring you the microphone, doing a wonderful job. I think she's got a helper, don't you? You got your partner. Yeah.
Well, we got Kristen back for a week, so we're glad for that. She's not real happy with this cold weather. That's what she said. She's used to her Florida warm weather.
Kathy, she told me, she said, it's cold, Greg. We don't dare talk about what's coming tonight, do we? What was it, really? Oh, my goodness. Well, it's wonderful having you home. Wonderful. Sun shines in our hearts with you home.
I'd like to praise the youth of our church. We've been honored to be able to, 2 or 3 weeks ago, down to Ohio State and see the cheerleaders. And they've done a wonderful job. And this past weekend, we've seen the show choir at our school. And that involved some of the other youth of our church. We really have a talented church here.
Randy, it's time for us to raise a cheer. Come on, raise a cheer. Yes, indeed. Good job. Good job, Coach. Any other joys or concerns? Well, can we show an appreciation here in this wonderful, these servants? Praise the Lord for your serving the Lord on this Palm Sunday. Yes, indeed. At this time, we'll turn to the Lord in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, our hearts are on fire. Rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, glory to you, O Lord, worthy of all praise. And yet, 2,000 years ago, Lord, even as you made the triumphal entry, and even as the cheers were raised, young and old alike, especially the children, by week's end, those cheers turned to jeers. And you went on to that old rugged cross of Calvary. And there, you made the ultimate sacrifice. You paid the highest price. Lord of all creation, how you love the world. So Lord, may that love continue like a seed to grow within us. May it continue to blossom and bear fruit. And may that fruit be the love that we therefore share with others, Lord, that you may be glorified. All to your praise, we ask this. Now deepen our faith. Help these seeds of love to grow as we turn to you and we lift up from our hearts the prayer that Jesus has invited us to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now at this time, the ushers will assist us in the morning offering. Let us pray together. We thank you, O God, for your generous spirit, for Christ's gift of self, for your never-failing love, for your many gifts, we thank you. For caring enough to walk with us in our weakness, we praise you. Receive these gifts in token and thanks for the love you offer us, a love that makes us well and whole. Amen. You may be seated. As a prelude to the cantata, I've got something very special for you. Tim, I'm going to ask it this time if you'll go to the next slide for us. Dreamer, do you recognize that? See that smile? That's the smile you gave to me and to Laura when you gave us this gift of your art. And I want you to take a look here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him shall never die but have eternal life. John 3:16. Dreama, thank you. Thank you. The church calendar has given us this year in the Lenten journey, and I've talked with Brother Warren about this, some of the richest scriptures of all of Holy Scripture. As a matter of fact, we were sharing, Bob Hall and I were sharing about the prodigal son, and Bertrand Russell, one of the America's greatest preachers, said of the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, that it would be all of the Christian essence distilled, if it could be distilled into one parable, surely it would be that, the parable of the prodigal son. If one story could represent the Christian gospel, it would be the parable of the prodigal son. But then it was Martin Luther who stepped that up a bit. He said that if all of the gospel could be distilled into one verse, it would be this verse that spoke to the heart of Dreama and speaks to us this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. The late, great African-American theologian, the Reverend Dr. E.V. Hill, he passed away in 2003. What an inspiration he was. He was the senior pastor of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in the Watts area of Los Angeles, California. Back during the 60s, you remember the Watts riots? Y'all remember those? And we were horrified to see all the violence, and yet it was Reverend E.V. Hill who stood tall, who stood up to the plate, who dared to speak out against the rioting in his own neighborhood. And because of this, the once beloved shepherd became an object of hate. Even many of his own flock turned against him. Well, it reached its climax one night when he received a phone call. And on the other end of the phone line, there was a caller that was threatening to rig a car bomb to his automobile with the intention to blow up Reverend Hill's car with him in it. A few days later, Reverend Hill was terrified when, sure enough, he woke up to discover his automobile was missing from the carport and his beloved wife, Jane Edna, was missing along with it. A few minutes later, she walked into the house, and the terrified pastor said, "Jane, sweetheart, where have you been?" And she said to him, listen to this, husbands, listen to this. She said to her husband, "I drove the car around the block to make sure that you would be safe when you took it to work this morning." Husbands, Reverend Hill said, "Never again did I question the love of my wife for me. That is love. That is love in pure action. And he said, that is the love that led Jesus to the old rugged cross of Calvary, where voluntarily he endured an excruciatingly painful death by crucifixion for you and for me, that we might remain safe in the arms of God. That is love. That is love. That is the love that Keith and Linda and Dick Miller and Warren Reed and the choir together, that is the love that we together will celebrate through this year's Easter Cantata. Thank you, Keith.
Oh, sent his son into the world, he sent him for the one purpose, to bring salvation to his people and to save them from their sins. This could only be accomplished by him traveling the long, hard road to Calvary. After living among men for 33 years and drawing to himself those disciples who would carry on the work after he was gone, the time drew near for Jesus to complete his mission, and he turned toward Jerusalem.
As you disciples know, the Passover celebration begins in just 2 days, and I will be betrayed and crucified.
Now they were on their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead. And as the disciples were following, they were filled with terror and dread. Taking them aside, Jesus once more describing all that was going to happen to him when they arrived in Jerusalem.
When we get there, I, the Messiah, will be arrested and taken before the chief priests and the Jewish leaders, who will sentence me to death and hand me over to the Romans to be killed. They will mock me, spit on me, and flog me with their whips and kill me. But after 3 days, I will come back to life again.
As they neared Bethage and Bethany on the outskirts of Jerusalem and came to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead.
Go over there into that village, and just as you enter, you will see a colt tied there that has never been ridden. Untie him and bring him to me. And if anyone asks you what you are doing, just say, our master needs him and will return him soon.
So the colt was brought to Jesus, and the disciples threw their cloaks across his back for him to ride on. Then many in the crowd spread out their coats along the road before him, while others threw down leafy branches from the fields.
With thorns and lots of tears.
When they arrived in Jerusalem, he went to the temple, began to drive out the merchants and their customers, knocking over the tables of the money changers and the stalls of those selling doves, and stopped everyone from bringing in loads of merchandise.
It is written in the scriptures, "My temple is to be a prayer for a place for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of robbers."
When the chief priests and other Jewish leaders heard what he had done, they began planning on how best to get rid of him. Now the day of Passover celebration arrived when the Passover lamb was killed and eaten with the unleavened bread. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead to find a place to prepare their Passover meal. "Where do you want us to go?" they asked.
"As soon as you enter Jerusalem, you will see a man walking along carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the man who lives there, 'Our teacher says for you to show us the guest room where he can eat the Passover meal with his disciples.' He will take you upstairs to a large room, all ready for us. That is the place. Go ahead and prepare the meal there."
So they went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and prepared the Passover supper. After supper, he gave them another glass of wine, saying,
"This wine is the token of God's new agreement to save you, an agreement sealed with the blood I shall pour out to purchase back your souls. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. I must die. It is part of God's plan. But oh, the horror awaiting that man who betrays me."
Then the disciples were wondering among themselves which of them would ever do such a thing.
Words of gloom fill all
Then, accompanied by his disciples, he left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives.
All of you will desert me, for God has declared through the prophets, I will kill the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. But after I am raised to life again, I will go to Galilee to meet you there.
Peter said to him, I will never desert you, no matter what the others do.
Peter, before the cock crows a second time tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times.
No, Peter exclaimed, not even if I have to die with you. I will never deny you. And all the others vowed the same. And now they came to an olive grove called the Garden of Gethsemane, and he instructed his disciples,
sit here while I go and pray.
He took Peter and James and John with him and began to be filled with horror and deepest distress. And he said to them,
my soul is crushed by sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me.
And he went on a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, this awful hour awaiting him might never come.
Father, everything is possible for you. Take away this cup from me. Yet, I want your will, not mine.
And an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him, for he was such in anguish of spirit that he broke into a sweat of blood and great drops falling to the ground as he prayed more and more earnestly. At last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find him asleep.
Simon, asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Watch with me and pray, lest the tempter overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak.
And he went away again and prayed, repeating his pleadings. Again he returned to find them asleep, for they were very tired, and they didn't know what to say.
Sleep on, get your rest. But no, the time for sleep has ended. Look, I am betrayed into the hands of wicked men. Come, get up. We must go. Look, my betrayer is here.
But even as he said this, the mob approached, led by Judas, one of his 12 disciples. Walking over to Jesus, he kissed him on the cheek in friendly greeting.
Judas, how can you do this? Betray the Messiah with a kiss.
So they seized him and led him to the high priest's residence, and Peter followed at a distance. The soldiers lit a fire in the courtyard and set around it for warmth. Peter joined them there. Meanwhile, as Peter was sitting in the courtyard, a boy came over and said to him, you were with Jesus. For both of you are from Galilee. But Peter denied it loudly. I do not even know what you're talking about. He angrily declared later, out by the gate, another boy noticed him and said to those standing around. Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. I didn't even know the man, he said. But after a while, the man who had been standing there came over to him and said, we know that you are one of his disciples, for we can tell by your Galilean accent. And Peter began to curse and swear, "I don't even know the man," he said, and immediately the cock crowed. Priests, and in fact the entire Jewish Supreme Court, assembled and looked for witnesses who would lie about Jesus in order to form a case against him that would result in a death sentence. But even though they found many who agreed to be false witnesses, they always contradicted each other. And then the high priest said to him, "I demand of the living God that you tell us whether you claim to be the Son of God."
"Yes, I am."
And they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him. When it was morning, the chief priests and Jewish leaders met again to discuss how to induce the Roman government to sentence Jesus to death. Then they sent him in chains to Pilate, the Roman governor. So Pilate asked him, "Are you their Messiah, their king?"
"Yes, it is as you say."
Then Pilate turned to the chief priests and the mob and said, "So that isn't a crime." Then they became desperate. But he is causing riots against the government everywhere he goes, all over Judea, from Galilee to Jerusalem. "Is he then a Galilean?" Pilate asked. When they told him yes, Pilate said to take him to King Herod, for Galilee was under Herod's jurisdiction, and Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. He asked Jesus question after question, but never got a reply. Meanwhile, the chief priests and other religious leaders stood there shouting their accusations. Now Herod and his soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus, and putting a kingly robe on him, they sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate called together the chief priests and other Jewish leaders, along with the people, and announced his verdict. "You brought me a man to be accused him of leading a revolt against the Roman government. I've examined him thoroughly, and on this point I find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to me. Nothing this man has done calls for a death penalty. I will therefore have him scourged with leaded thongs and release him." But now a mighty roar rose out of the crowd as with one voice they shouted, "Kill him and release Barabbas to us."
the sinful work of man was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have
soldiers took him into the barracks in the palace and dressed him in a purple robe and made him a crown of long sharp thorns and put it on his head. Then they saluted him, and, "Yay, King of the Jews!" And they beat him on the head with a cane and they spit on him and went down on their knees and worshipped him. And then when they finally tired of their sport, they took off the purple robe, put his own clothes back on, and they led him away to be crucified.
Oh,
Two other criminals were led out to be executed with him in a place called the Skull. There all three were crucified, Jesus on the center cross, and the two criminals on either side.
Father, forgive these people, for they don't know what they are doing.
That draw the paths of death.
And then when the crowd that came to see him crucified saw that Jesus was dead, they went home in deep sorrow. Meanwhile, Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him down from Galilee, stood in the distance watching. Then a man named Joseph, a member of the Jewish Supreme Court from the city of Arimathea in Judea, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He was a godly man who had been expecting the Messiah's coming and had not agreed with the decision of the actions of the other Jewish leaders. So he took down Jesus' body, wrapped it in a long linen cloth, and laid it in a new, unused tomb hewn into the rock at the side of the hill. This was done on Friday afternoon, the day of preparations for the Sabbath. As the body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw it carried into the tomb. Then they went home to prepare spices and ointments to embalm him. But by the time they had finished, it was the Sabbath, and so they rested all that day as required by Jewish law.
That the world had stood still.
The long, hard journey was nearing its end. Jesus soon would return to his Father from where he came. He had told his disciples, "I will go to prepare a place for you," but first he would meet them in Galilee as promised. Then 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mount where Jesus had said, and they would find him. There they met him and worshiped him, but some of them really weren't sure it was really Jesus.
"I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the world."
When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at God's right hand. His long journey was ended.
Oh,
give a praise to the Lord for the greatest love that the world has ever known. Thanks to Keith, thanks to Dick, Warren, Linda, Holden, and Brad again for our sound engineer and for each of you. I just treasure this love in your heart. May that love grow. And now may that love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all now and forever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.